Welcome to the Weekly Zoo. It is a super size edition. Oh, I gotta change my graphic here. It's not the Chronicles of a Corrupted Childhood. Let me see if I can change the other character. There we go, your humble zookeeper. On this wild show, we're gonna get a little bit part of Polly, and then we'll talk about Tommy and relationships and stuff like that, because we didn't get it because our phone lines are working. Well, not our phone lines, but our phones that patch the interface to our audio. We've been having issues for a while. It turns out it might have been the phone. It might have been the magical device. And also, we now have a link so I can plug this into our phone system so I can dial out, because there might be some segments down the road where things might get a little fluffy, kinky. Alright, we also are on Zoom, so you can Zoom on the Weekly Zoo. Do I have to pay channel 2 a, a fee for making references to the TV series? Do I really have to? Hold on, let me play it on here. There we go. I might have to pay channel 2 a fee, the residual. So last week I talked a little bit, or at least on Tuesday I talked about Sean Spicer. I didn't get to cat fight in, but we got some, again, we're going to talk about toxic masculinity and all this other crap that you listen to hard right radio and, or TV for that matter. And Laura Ingraham is such a queen on this. So let's play Laura Ingraham and see who her imaginary friends are. Cause I don't think Laura has that many friends. Come on, Laura, you right-wing nut job.
That's the focus of tonight's angle. Now, once relegated to women's studies, classrooms, and college campuses, the phrase toxic masculinity entered our cultural vernacular a few years ago. Now, this was around the time that the American Psychological Association jumped in to warn that males who socialize to conform to traditional masculinity ideology are often negatively affected in terms of mental and physical health.
I can relate to that.
Well, the argument is that boys are conditioned to be tough and not show weakness. That's a bad thing, I guess. And then by suppressing boys' feelings, their emotions, then they're likely to be more prone to violence or aggression, more likely to end up in prison or in trouble at school. And people who work in gender studies programs, they're dead set against the old confining rules of masculinity. And you'll see this in a highly produced Hollywood conversation.
It's a YouTube video.
I think there's a model about being a real man in America. And I think sometimes that model is at more sort of stoic, hard, tough, etc. My friend Joe Erman, who used to be a professional football player, says that he remembers his father just saying to him, be a man. Man up, toughen up, don't be a girl.
This is how far we've fallen in America. Telling a boy not to be a girl, I guess, is now considered abusive. We're in an upside down world, my friends, and I think more people now see right through the attempt that they're making to kind of wrap their attacks on traditional gender roles around an anti-bullying campaign. Well, that's absurd, because real men do not bully. We know that. Real men don't beat their wives. We know that. Real men don't hurt animals or children. We know that. All decent people agree on that. And by the way, long before the phrase gender fluid popped up, good parents told their sons both to be a man and to be courageous, valiant, compassionate. Now, I heard my friend's father say, stop whining and be a man. And he was complaining about something. He said it a lot, actually. It
my
didn't hurt my
off.
Buddy one bit. He's a great dad today. But today, the radical left has one goal in mind. It's to destroy the underpinnings of the nuclear family by targeting the distinct parental roles that fathers and mothers play. Ideally, come on, we all know this. It's better for children to be raised by a mother and a father who are present
nuclear
and
family.
Involved. Now, we also all know that single moms and dads do their best, but it's much harder. God bless them all. And I say this as a single mom myself.
She just throws that in. I know she was a mother.
This idea of the traditional roles.
Traditionalism.
To the radicals who see the traditional family, especially traditionally minded men, as an impediment to the ultimate goal of the left of socialism and rewriting of American history. Now, remember, Black Lives Matter had the disruption of the nuclear family as one of its main goals.
Where's the
now, the entertainment industry joined the anti-family, anti-masculinity crusade long ago.
Grounds.
In television and films, male protagonists are often portrayed as kind of goofy, helpless, helpless saps or gender-fluid geniuses.
From the dance class to the ballroom.
I think there was some drag queen stuff going on.
Newsflash for Hollywood. Women want men to be men. Obviously, they also want men to be honest and kind and sacrificial and humble as well. But as an old friend used to say, most women
who's
I know, even women
friend?
Who work outside the home, prefer a man who will protect, provide, and defend. And we don't want men who will elbow us out of the way to primp in the mirror, or men whose idea of a fun afternoon is getting a mani-pedi and a facial. No. Remember the man, by the way, the Obama people used in ads to push Obama?
Greatest hits.
Well, even Morning Joe all those years ago couldn't stop laughing at him.
This guy
which
is funny.
2013, this final
Of course, all the Pajama Boy fans are totally shocked that young men are flocking to non-effeminate men like Jordan Peterson, who wrote 12 Rules for Life.
Oh, we'll get back to him.
And they're especially furious that millions are tuning in to listen to manly men like Joe Rogan.
Toxic masculinity, which is, that's a hilarious expression, because you need to thank toxic masculinity for all the bridges, all the jets, all the rockets, all this toxic masculinity. If you break down all the things that men have invented and all these toxic men have prevented, like, you from being murdered in war and protected the country and all the different things that you could attribute to toxic masculinity, most of it's positive.
That's why people listen to him. Now, the fact is the natural instinct of most men is to protect women. But that's slowly being beaten out of them by angry feminists or overly feminine men who love submissive types. This seems especially to be the case in more liberal.
What is wrong with that, Laura?
And the consequences are horrifying. Now, something that happened in a Manhattan subway car when a woman told a perturbed African-American man to take a chill pill. Watch.
Yes, yo, you wildin'. She a female. What? That's OD.
Well, that went on and on, but notice what didn't happen. Not a single man on that train
or
intervened.
Woman.
A more shocking incident took place in Philly last week when a woman was raped on the L train with other passengers aboard. Not a single one did anything to help her. And earlier this week in San Francisco, it was a young woman who chased down a man who pushed an elderly Asian lady to the ground. When the woman confronted the assailant, she was stabbed 3 times. Where were the men? Frankly, the mass feminization of men should trouble women the most. The victims in all those heinous attacks were women who were overpowered by bad men. And because the cultural elites and institutions have spent years villainizing masculinity, there were no good men willing to step in to save them. And that's the angle.
Her logic makes absolutely no sense. I mean, again, if you're watching Fox News, even on the opinion shows, to get an accurate worldview. I'm sorry, this channel is like all they do is they mock the left, and then they do cheap shots. And I mean CNN and the likes, which is not what it used to be either. I'm not endorsing either network or channel. Or the traditional three networks, broadcast networks. But Fox is just sitting here, and it's like listening to Z100 of current events issues. It's just like, come on. Now, the Philadelphia thing, okay, this is another problem. Why the hell do people have to use the phrase filming the sex act, the abusive sex act, the egregious sex act, okay? Where, you know, why were they doing that? What are they doing with it? They did absolutely nothing. And while somebody made a 9/11 reference, I think, on the said channel, I know where they're coming from, because they're referring to Flight 93. Everyone made a consensus to get the animals out of the cockpit. It was really badly, poorly languaged, but I knew where the guy was coming from. I don't know if it was Pete or the other dude on the Fox News channel. But anyways, you could have had a consensus of people saying, I'm going to call 911, I'm going to stop this guy, I'm going to detain the guy, you do this, you do that, you want to take this for a reference, okay, go ahead, be the bystander, and get the son of the bitch off the SEPTA train. Simple as that, but they need to do that. And that's a failure on parenting. It's a failure on doing the right thing. It's not a gender-specific thing, but you know how Laura likes spin things around like a monkey. I don't know. I don't know what to say. But you get the point here. Let's go next to professional audio and audio settings. Why do you want me to do that? I'll do that on a break. I got shows to do. Because Zoom is knowing I'm doing a live stream here. Let's go back to Jordan Peterson. So let me just play these cuts again, then I'll play new cuts. Play them as I go along here. There was a 90-minute conversation on the Roommates podcast, and it's just garbage. It was a 90-minute. Apparently, Jordan had some health issues during the pandemic. It wasn't related to the pandemic, but he was basically out of sight for most of 2020. And he has to say on this podcast, he says it on another person's podcast, but still it's, anyways, let's go to JP Cut 1, if I can get to that. He feels that, but he does. Go.
What? How can a man whose sexual attraction to women has become warped to the extreme ends due to so much consumption of pornography, how can that man go back to now being attracted to, you know, more natural looking women or more women that could be around their, you know, their lives instead of the projecting?
Well, deprivation,
you know,
is helpful. Yeah. You know, I mean, so I think it's reasonable to assume that there's a novelty edge in pornography, like there is in so many quasi-addictive phenomena. And so it has to become, because novelty is a sexual kick, it has to stay novel, and that means.
Next cut. Again, this is just so overrated.
It's like, who would guess that except a particularized expert? And the reason for that is that it's better than wood. And it's a pathway on the way to natural gas and perhaps nuclear.
Yeah, he bashes global warming in this very, I mean, this guy has a couple loose screws here. I'm going to take a quick technical break because I noticed I was mono on one ear on the live stream. I'm seeing it on the meter. So it's just a simple, typically I broadcast one channel out, but due to some technical problems or due to various things, I just want to just take that break, and then we'll go to Jordan Peace. So we'll come at back in about 9:51. Be back. All right, can I see myself in stereo? So that's a good thing, good thing right now. So, all right, well, we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about Jordan Peterson, how he fails miserably at what he does. Play cut three, then we'll go to the master cut.
No, that was really powerful, Jordan Peterson. I love the call always back to accountability. And so
accountability,
as one who's been... Accountability,
my...
Married for so many decades, I think one of the challenges a lot of men do is they aim
men,
at
men,
the wrong women, they pick the wrong women. So in your personal experience from your years of marriage, and there's also years of study, what would you say are things that men need to be focusing in on,
like,
when it's trying
to
select a woman
men
for
are.
A long-term
Good
marriage
God.
Partner?
If there
well,
is
you
one.
Want someone honest.
Honest.
That's really, really important. Someone who will do her best to tell the truth. And my wife swore she'd do that before we got married, and she has.
Okay, good for you. I don't need to know the rest of your personal.
And then there's
life.
An insistence. Well, climate change
right,
is...
Let's go to that in a moment. I think that's cut up. We did multiple cuts there. So we're going to go to... let's go to... 3:10 on the master cut. Go.
You know, it's
so something else I've been hearing, Dr. Peterson. A lot of young men have been sharing
Dr.
with me.
Peterson.
And I'm not sure how much you've heard of it or experienced it. They've been sharing that, you know, that they feel as though the average woman has no desire for the average male, and that because of
that
things
long?
Like social media, online dating, things along those lines, as well
mm-hmm.
as just some of the female empowerment, where a lot of women have
exactly.
a some. This is what they say: an elevated sense of self. That
mm-hmm.
now they feel like they're above a lot of these average men, which
uh-huh.
also contributes to a disparity
Called
between young
it.
Adults being able to connect and form meaningful relationships.
Yeah, well, women are more picky in their mate choices than men, especially sexually.
Mating.
Yeah, that's the case in every
yeah.
culture, it's not
burnt.
Surprising because women have more at stake sexually than men do. You know, per episode, because men don't get pregnant, obviously.
Like,
so
geez, we didn't
that
know
female
that.
Pickiness is that's the case. That's definitely true. Whether it's worse now or not, I doubt if it is. I would say to young men who are irritated at women, is if you're irritated at women, you know, as a class of creature, there's something wrong with you because they're right.
Something wrong with
you're
you.
You're wrong.
You're wrong.
They're right. To not pick you. If they're not picking you, it's because they're right.
Wow.
Now, that might get... I know that's a terrible thing to say. And
exactly,
I know perfectly well,
Jordan.
It wasn't like I was particularly successful with girls when I was young. You know, so I know what that rejection is like. I know what that fear is like. I don't know it as well as some men know it because I wasn't rejected outright. But what you have to understand is that what do you expect from women? If you got pregnant because you had sex, you'd be pretty damn choosy too. So, you know, clue in a bit. And then, well, don't they find you attractive? Well, maybe you're not. Like, have you paid attention to how you dress? Do you have a plan? Are you as educated as you could be? You know, are you a liar? Are you a rabid pornography user? Because maybe that's undermining your motivation to
porn.
Seek out a woman.
It's the new boogeyman.
Grow yourself up. It's like, if you're rejected constantly,
like, you know,
and you're out there really trying, you know, because that's another thing to ask yourself, is, well, how many women have you actually asked out? And are you so sure that you're not picking women who certainly reject you because you're trying to bat out of your league? Because you might be.
You're out of
so,
my league.
I'm speaking about this as a clinician, too, because I had plenty of men in my practice who were, you know, radically unsuccessful with women. I had one man in particular. He was so afraid of women, he couldn't even, well, he couldn't use the phone. He was too afraid of everyone to use the phone. And he had been bullied like mad. And you know, he had his problems. So I know what this is like, but...
You don't know. You can relate.
It's a big problem. It's a real curse, that pornography.
Pornography, the new boogeyman.
And so we don't know. We don't know what the consequences of that are. We know, starting to understand some of them. But if you were better, you'd be more successful with women. So you have to have that in your mind. And they're not. You cannot be angry at women. It's stupid. Women.
It's stupid.
It's like women being angry at men. It's a sign of psychological trouble. That.
Oh my God! Let's.
Is that, you know, for the men who are complaining about
let's consult the one with Courtney Ryan.
It's not.
No, hey, can't take accountability.
The finger at them, not choosing them, but more so looking in the mirror and asking themselves, what can they do to improve themselves to be so desirable, instead of focusing simply in on the inability.
Everyone's
of,
pointing,
you know,
fingers. I don't know why.
Be a little stronger. Dress a little better. Speak a little more clearly. Aim a little higher. Like. And
oh
practice
my God,
that.
This is so,
you know,
simple.
And that'll work. Now, you know, I know that that's more difficult for some people than others, because some people bear incredibly difficult developmental burdens. You know, and
yeah,
I'm not saying that this is easy, but I'm saying that it's a useful reaction. Like, what else are you going to do? What else are you going to do? Complain about women? You know, I've seen that in men. I went out with a group of men who were having trouble with their wives, and they'd gone off to this, like, couples retreat. And it was mostly rubbish, although they were trying a bit to get their lives together. And I spent a whole day with them. There were three of them. And one of them was a guy that I'd known for quite a while. And every single word he said was a lie. And all these three did the whole day was complain about their wives. And I thought, what the hell's wrong with you guys? Like, you picked them. They're these women you picked, you know, and maybe they have their flaws, but they're your wives, and that's how you talk about them? And you think they're the problem? You're so dumb that you don't even know that you shouldn't badmouth your wife just because she's your wife. Like, when Tammy and I got married, we had a discussion about that. It's like, she has her flaws, and I have my flaws, but I'm her husband, and she's my wife, and there's a certain respect that goes along with that category, if you have any sense. And so that's an extension of the same thing. You know, it's best to look to yourself. Now that now and then you can, you know, things have gone rotten in society, and you have to bear your responsibility. You have to address that at a social level and a communal level. But fundamentally, it's like, and you do so much less harm if you look to yourself first as the problem. And believe me, you're plenty of problem for you. You're all the problem you need for you. That's for sure.
So what would you say, Dr. Peterson, to the young
Peterson,
men who are pushing back on this idea?
Doctor.
And the young men who say, like, you know, traditionally speaking, there was assortative mating where if you were a guy and you're a middle class, you can get a middle class partner. You were a guy making $40,000, you can get a certain level of partner. That in some communities, in some environments, you know, because of, you know, degrees or things like that, if you're a guy, you know, making $50,000 a year or $60,000 a year, and you're doing relatively well, that the women in your cohort who are similar partners to you may not desire you. Instead of wanting a partner making 60, want a partner making 80. So what would you say
mostly,
to those guys?
Mostly I'd say that was an excuse. But I wouldn't go farther than that, because, you know, I don't know how to answer those questions in some ways at a collective level, which is why I focus on the individual. If someone came to me and told me that, the first thing I would do is listen to them for like 10 sessions. Just to find out what they're thinking and to find out what the problem actually is, because they think they know what the problem is. You know, it's these picky women, and that could be the problem. You know, for them, it might be. Maybe there's a demographic issue or community issue that I don't understand.
Yes,
I wouldn't assume that I knew what the problem was. But Those sorts of things, in my experience, have to be solved at a high level of detail, like at high resolution. So let's say you are having trouble finding a mate, you know, and you think, well, I'm reasonably symmetrical. I'm in decent physical condition. I'm young. I have a decent salary. But still, okay, well, that's a deep dive issue. I don't know what's wrong. We'd have to talk about that. And I do mostly listen. It's like, you seem okay. So why don't you have a partner? Well, that's a deep mystery. Like, it's really a deep mystery. It's nothing trivial. There's no simple solution to that. And so, again, that's why I don't really do sociology in some sense, you know.
Well, I think you except should. Insofar I think as some of it's sociology.
I understand the role of the individual in relationship to society. You know, mm-hmm. So I would say to someone like that, you know, practically, if you want to do something, go see a cognitive behavioral psychologist and take the problem apart and strategize. That you'll figure out how to fix it.
That's good. That's good because I think
it's a serious problem, right?
Yeah, definitely a serious problem. And I think what ends up happening is that, like you said, too many people create a one size fit all problem to their to what they're going on. So they say, well, the reason I'm unsuccessful is because of A, but in reality, if you could talk to a wiser individual and sit down, you might realize that the problem isn't A, aka the women. Maybe
AKA,
the problem
oh
is
my
that,
God,
no,
don't get me started with
the
AKA.
Communication school, you're picking the wrong kind of individuals, and there's a myriad of varieties of issues instead of just simply making it
exactly.
Just a one-size-fits-all problem.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Well, it's also in some ways a lot less depressing to particularize like that.
Die of a brain
because you find out a bunch of problems you don't have, right? So you can just, those aren't my problems. It turns out my problem is this. And then that might be non-trivial, and probably is, but at least it's not everything, right? And I also think that when we talk about things like climate change, it's like,
well, really,
there's no such thing as the climate. It's not a useful word when you're trying to solve a problem. And what do you mean by change exactly? Like these are really low-resolution concepts, and all the solutions are high-resolution, and it requires particularized expertise to solve some genuine, actionable problem. You have to decompose the problem, and then
you have
to be satisfied with addressing some micro-element of it. There's no fixing climate change. That conceptually, it's just an indication of unsophisticated thinking. That's all it is.
Unsophisticated.
And then there's an insistence. Well, climate change is real. Well, what do you mean by real? What do you mean by change? What do you mean by climate? How much do you know about climate? And I'm just picking on that because it's a real overgeneralization. It's not helpful. Yeah. And when you talk to real experts, they've particularized. So I'll give you an example. Glenn Schellenberger. I hope I got that right. I just talked to him. He wrote this book recently called Apocalypse Never, and he was a climate activist, an eco-activist for a long time, but you know, he kept delving into things and particularizing them, and then he wrote this book. And one of the things he said was, he talked to an MIT scientist who said, if you want to knock carbon dioxide emissions down, the best thing to do would be to work to help India burn more coal. It's like, who would guess that except a particularized expert? The reason for that is that it's better than wood. And it's a pathway on the way to natural gas and perhaps nuclear. But it's not obvious. Because in the short term, it makes the problem worse, or it seems to. And so that's particularized knowledge. And you have to particularize your problem. Why can't men find women to date? That's not your problem. Your problem is why you can't find the woman you want.
Yeah.
And you have to assume that's your problem, because otherwise you have to assume that it's the women's problem. And
well, the women,
really?
Just
they're all
the
wrong and you're right.
Talk about that
really?
With a temper, Paul.
Lucky you. Maybe you are. You're an undiscovered gem of some sort. Probably not.
Married for so many decades, I think one of the challenges a lot of men do is they aim at for the wrong women, or they pick the wrong women. So in your personal experience from your years of marriage, and there's also years of study, what would you say are things that men need to be focusing in on when it's trying to select a woman for a long-term marriage partner?
Well, you want someone honest.
right. We are.
That's really, really important. Someone who will do her best to tell you
the
truth.
That's not the
and
problem.
My wife swore she'd do that before we got married, and she has.
On the next edition of Zoo, we might play him against Courtney Ryan, who appeared earlier in the year. She is, oh my God, she's a hot mess. And she's still on YouTube, pipping on the interwebs. I guess I gotta make better content. Apparently, it's not the systems against me. It must, Jordan makes you want to kill yourself after the end of every 90 minutes of content. I mean, God, Temple Grandin, remember how he made her look like a complete useful idiot? Yeah, that's Jordan. Let's, do I have my sponsor on here? Because I did do a JP bill. Tag. I have to make sure I get my sponsor off. Alright, maybe I'll do it after the break. But let's go to Alan. Oh my God. He's got a question. Oh golly, let's see if we can answer this one. I'm not the experienced guy. Alan, what say you?
There is my trunk. Hey, what's up?
The sky.
So my buddy is really horny, and she's pregnant.
Wow, she's horny and pregnant.
Yeah. So she wants me to bang every night.
Oh my God, that is.
I don't think he can do this.
I cannot if you do this. How many months in? What'd she do?
No, she's a horny little bitch. She wants to bang.
She wants to bang. Wait, what'd she do? Or how many months in?
She's halfway through her second trimester.
Oh my God, she wants more sex. Wow, I feel bad.
Yeah, my girlfriend's just horny.
I feel bad for the kid because if the kid gets born, he's going to probably have a lot of hormonal issues.
Okay, you don't have anything to help me?
I don't know. Maybe she has to go do some porno. Get really tell the porno. Wow, she is. Alright, thank you for the call, Alan. Jesus, what way to start the show tonight? A horny, pregnant woman. This is apparently his girlfriend. He barely knocked up, but she gets horny. I mean, that's a great one to start on a Saturday night. All right. Johnny, you're next on the Weekly Zoo. What say you, Johnny?
What's with these black people that just, these people just think that they're so, they just drive me bananas with the way they respect older people and they're so submissive. These people are just so strange.
Whoa, okay, hold on a moment. Let's break this down. Are you talking about the culture?
Why does a younger man have to call everybody a young man? Well, and why does he call this guy a doctor? You know, he's not a doctor. He's just very, like, a little man. But he tells everybody to grow up, but he just acts like a little submissive dog.
Okay, I don't know why you're trying to lump in a group of people, unless it's a cultural thing. But I want to be careful on that. Let's just lose Johnny. I think he's got a little derangement of something. You want to talk about anger. David's next on the Weekly Zoo. David, what say you? David?
Hi. I have a friend who is in his 20s in a relationship with his mother who lives in a piece of a point where he has no autonomy. He can't think for himself, he can't speak for himself, the mother's always right. Mother thinks she has an open license to manipulate him, and I want him out of that relationship. I think the mother's a narcissist, the mother's all that. What should I do? I'll take your question up there.
Live with you. The problem is you really cannot do anything with an overprotective parent, although I would recommend that you massage your antidotes with your friend. And I'm not sure, is that really your friend? Are you, I think I've talked a lot about fathers and mothers mostly, and they do harm, for sure. All right, let's, the Bruins got mulched by the Maple Leafs 5-2. Oh, bad night for the Garden. All right, we're going to take a break and then come back and answer more of your calls, because we got a little calls coming up next. So this is going to be a fun night. We're going to go through the calls next here on The Weekly Zoo. Love and Relationships Hour at 10, brought to you by from Clickford Media Services. I need some X key so I can help automate my show here. So I have to go to my workstation and going all the way over there to direct my show, you know. All right, let's go to Michael. Michael is next on the Weekly Zoo. What say you, Michael?
Hey, what's up?
This guy.
So, I'm totally with you on this. I've listened to your show for a while here. I've been allowing our fanboy here tell my girls to see your show. But, the whole nuclear family, I'm totally with you. It's frankly a vote of bullshit. I know a bunch of dudes that were bastard children from nuclear families. It's all a hoax. And I just wondered what is your advice to go against the nuclear family?
Build better adopted families. You have other families, but not tightly knit. You know, you're not in your own little bubble.
Okay.
Don't huddle with these clubby, thinking like extracurricular stuff like that. You don't bring them to church and surround themselves around the family, because that's exactly it's the breaking.
I don't get that either.
Yeah, and they just.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a problem.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, dude.
No problem. But that's a bigger problem, because with this breakdown in culture, it's not about people going on church. When I was in my teens, that was the biggest moral problem. The problem is more people are going to church, but they've thrown away their standards and their own practices, in my opinion. So I think it goes in multiple different ways. Eric is next on the Weekly Zoo. Eric, what say you?
Hi, what's up?
This guy.
You're sounding much better now. You got your workflow all set up. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Are you looking at going to Dante?
Excuse me?
Are you looking at going to Dante?
Oh, no. It's money you're showing.
I'm just pulling your leg.
Yeah, I can't afford Dante at this point.
Well, careful, be careful, because Apple might pull the plug on FireWire.
I'm not using FireWire yet, but I'll make sure I make it.
Okay, so my girlfriend and I, she likes some noise. I like quiet. Mm. And she always needs some noise in the background. She can't have it like quiet.
So, no.
How can I get TV? What can I do to have it go both ways?
It's hard, because if she needs, like, the TV or something, it's almost like she needs
radio, TV.
Exactly. She needs a stimulant. Apparently, noise is her stimulant.
That's too bad.
Yeah, you might be screwed.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome, Eric. Yes, and the question was Dante. Yeah, not only that, you need to have like a completely like separate network. Like you thought for VoIP is important. you need to kind of have a nice network for Dante as well. And again, I mean, I'm not on FireWire right now. Well, I'm using FireWire to play out what you've heard earlier, but I it's still a dicey game. If you're using FireWire and you can't use it on an M1 Mac, and particularly probably since Big Sur, you're probably screwed. I think the highest one I can run support is Catalina, but not whatever. High Sierra was a joke. Katie from Texas, you're on the Weekly Zoo. What's the
Hi, y'all. How you doing?
Oh, good.
This is Katie from Texas.
Hi, Katie. What's up?
I want to turn on my date tonight. We've been dating for about 2 months. Do you think we can get in, if you know what I mean?
Okay, so how long have you been dating for? I mean, how many dates have you been dating?
I don't know. 8 or 9.
Do you think that's enough to get in the bed with him?
I just want to be closer to him and just want to do it.
So that's your rationale to bang him for. Okay, well, you...
Have there, like, 2 other partners?
Okay, you've had 2 other partners before. How long, how far apart
were you? Like, more than 2 years ago.
More than 2 years ago. So, okay, so you're not a horny little slut, but I'm sorry about that. But you know what I mean.
So, should I do him?
Well, you gotta turn him on, I guess. And you have to ask if he wants to do you. It's gotta be mutual, honey.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome, Katie. Joey from Fake 87. This is probably a statement. Get ready to clean your ears because he probably got cum out and it's coming out of his mouth. Joey, what say you?
Oh, fake news. You can't help yourself being on not just one day, but twice. You're such a low life. I'll give you some advice. I've been in a relationship with a girl for the last 6 months, and she's a smoke. You know, she likes manly men who have nice, deep pockets. They have a lot of bones and muscles, and they move mountains with their bare hands. And I'm like, gee, you can't even lift a damn thing, you little funny boy.
Oh, you don't even know me. I can lift things. I have muscles. I got balls. You don't even care. Call me.
We both don't trust the deep state. And even your Democratic presidential pal, Tulsi, thinks there's a liberal administrative state going on.
All right, enough with the deep state garbage. Do you have anything else to say about relationships?
Yep, you're such a silly boy that you just sleep. And you better not sleep in early, late tomorrow, because you need to stay awake and stop listening to the media and sensationalist media, because you're such a frickin' faggot. You don't even have a clue what's really going on. You gotta do your own research, you dickhead.
Wow, you sound like an Avaya sales whore. If you know what I mean by that, Avaya used to have this do your own research in their many documentations. And I'm not kidding by that. And I think Avaya did the public a disservice on that. Do your research. Now it's owned by the Proud Boys. Like Joey on the fake Interstate 87 in freaking North Carolina where there's no, which is not connected to each other. All right, let's go to Lindsay. Ooh, Lindsay. Okay, this is going to get interesting. Lindsay, you're on the Weekly Zoo. You're talking about a guy in your life. What's up, Lindsay, at 7:22 Pacific Daylight Time, because it's not standard until a day from now. Lindsay, what say you?
Steven!
We sound very deaf.
How are you?
Oh, boy, you have marbles up in your
mouth. Okay, well, I got another boyfriend again, and he's a really good man, unlike you, who you're just too much of a passive little dude. And I can't wait to get our relationship deeper, because he really likes, you know, women to be in the kitchen and paying bills, you know, because, you know, I'm an old school Californian girl. and be like old-fashioned manners and stuff like that.
But wait a minute, you were like in a guy that was a badass, so you're kind of flipping and flopping here, aren't you, Linz?
He was just a really disgusting guy, you know? I didn't like him, and, you know?
Sounds like this guy's passive. Okay, so, what are you, Lindsay? How
I'm
tall are you?
I'm 30 years old.
You? You're 30 years old. How tall are you?
I'm 5'1".
Okay, what's your blonde hair color?
Blonde hair.
Eye color?
Baby blue eyes, you know?
What's your body size?
A girl doesn't tell her how much she weighs or how much she dresses, and I get.
So what's your body type?
I'm athletic, you know.
Okay, so you're an all-American beauty, so they say, Lindsay. So again, I think the thing is here.
Well, you know, I don't really like your show, and I don't like your advice. I just like calling in to kind of just put you down, because you don't deserve anything. Bye!
Ouch. I didn't come here to be made sport of, as Harry Carr would say. I didn't come here to be made sport of. Ugh. Good golly. Mr. X, you're on the weekly suit. Notice how she deflated me? That's what happens when you keep when I allow trollers to call the show. Mr. X, what say you?
Hi,
Hi.
Just curious to wonder what your take is on girls that don't that wear makeup and think that she's real.
Okay, was that a question? Can you reframe that? Because it didn't sound like a question.
I'm sorry, I didn't answer it really like. What is your take on girls that are raw that don't wear makeup? Does that make sense?
They're raw. Yeah.
What's your thoughts?
Okay, right. So, girls that are real are raw, and there's a difference between being raw.
That's right, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. X. Thank you for hanging up on me. Josh is next. Josh, you're on the weekly. We're going to take a break. We'll come back at 10:30. We'll answer Josh, Alicia, another Mr. X, and Harry. Oh, this is going to get a lot of fun. All right, we're listening to the Love and Relationships Hour. Teddy, got any love questions? Any questions on love and relationships? You better do it right now before it's too late here on the Weekly Zoo. Sorry, wrong button, you dumbass.